Okay, you're very welcome back to the next part of the programme. Thank you very much for sticking with us. Good morning if you're just after joining us. And it is the beginning of our local election debates. Our focus this morning is in the Milford electoral area. We've got nine candidates contesting three seats. The candidates that are standing, Liam Blaney of Fianna Fáil, Pádraig McGarvey, independent, Maria Doherty of Sinn Féin, Declan Meehan, who's an independent, Vincent Bradley, an independent, Aaron Sweeney of Fine Gael, Kathleen Deeney of Aintu, Eamon Jackson of 100% Redress Party, and John O'Donnell, who is an independent. Now, two unable to attend with us. They are namely Aaron Sweeney of Fine Gael. He's unable to attend due to work commitments. And John O'Donnell, independent, he's not available because he is at a council meeting. But we have the rest, and I suppose maybe we'll kick off in and around a minute, maybe just for people to outline as to why people should vote for them. And we'll go counterclockwise, I suppose, if that's all right. And as I say, in and around a minute, Maria Doherty of Sinn Féin, you're very welcome into the studio. And I suppose the question is, why should people vote for you?
Thanks, Greg. The reason I would like people to vote for me and for Sinn Féin is I think, you know, and particularly from being on the campaign trail over the last 4 or 5 weeks and longer before that, that people have had enough. The government policy is not working. As we know, government policy is connected to local government policy, and that investment is not there. So I would like people to consider voting for me because they're voting for Sinn Féin. They're sending a strong message that it's not good enough, that rural Ireland deserves better, and that we need change from the top down. And they're sending, and for us, and in terms of our sort of mandate, we're running 18 candidates across all the constituencies in Donegal, and that's going to send a strong message for the people of Donegal that, you know, we want to have better services, we want to have better funding, we want more affordable social housing, we want decent healthcare, we want 100% redress without a shadow of a doubt, we want improved infrastructure in rural Ireland, we want improved investment, to tacky a hiat in the Cantar Gaeltacht, the freshen, agus Bacordin Gomei, Argini Oganan, Fanach Dina Cantar Hain.
That's quite the wish list. Pádraig McGarvey, independent. Around about a minute, Pádraig.
Thanks, Greg. Good morning, listeners. I suppose I'm Councillor Pádraig McGarvey, independent candidate in the Milford electoral area. I've been in the seat of my uncle now for 15 months. In this 15 months, I've made much progress. I've had many achievements. I made a commitment the day that I took over from Ian that I would work hard for the people that Ian represented it and now I represent. I've worked hard for the people. I've had many achievements in roads, housing, many achievements on health passports. I've worked hard for the people and I wish to continue to work hard for them and make their representations at the top level, use the government bodies which I have I'm blessed to have worked with, and I want to continue working for the people of Milford.
All right, cheers for that, Pádraig. Declan Meehan, independent.
Thanks, Greg. So my name is Declan Meehan. I'm an independent candidate in this election. I'm a community worker. I'm currently working as manager of Milford and District Resource Centre, and I'm also involved as chairperson of Rye Community Centre. I'm on the board of directors of DLDC, and I'm chairperson of the Swilly Mulroy Community Health Forum. As a community worker, I'm seeing day in, day out over the past 5 years locally the issues and challenges that people are facing. Some people in this electoral area are on their knees when it comes to housing, defective blocks, health and infrastructure generally. And I believe that we need better representation, and I believe this area deserves it, to fight for people in those priority areas. It's not good enough that we have some councillors who only show up at around election time. I'm committed to showing up for people every single day of a 5-year term should I get elected, which I have been doing as a community worker already over the past 5 years. I've brought in €1.8 million in funding for the local area, and I intend to do more of that for the wider electoral area should I get elected on June 7th. There's a range of significant challenges and issues that are facing people in this area, and it's vital that we have the right people sitting at the table in Lifford representing Milford electoral area. So I'm asking people to vote Meehan number one.
All right, Eamon Jackson, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. Morning, everybody. Thanks, Greg and Caroline, for having me on. I am one of the founding members of the Mica Action Group, and I operated as both vice chair and chairperson over a 9-year period, where we successfully lobbied for and got 2 multi-billion euro defective block schemes. So I have a wealth of experience dealing with top politicians in both this country and in Europe. As a councillor, I aim to be a strong, passionate and effective voice for not only those with crumbling homes, but for my whole community. My campaign is built on the values of transparency, inclusivity and the dedication to address all concerns. To achieve this, I will need your number one vote. Then together, we can create a community where every voice is heard and every issue is addressed with the urgency and care that it deserves. So let's work together and make a better community for all.
Vincent Bradley, why should people vote for you?
Yeah, thank you, Greg. My name is Vincent Bradley. I'm from Kerrygart. Why should people should vote for me? We have a country currently being destroyed. All the political parties are on board with mass immigration coming into the country. There's nobody standing up. We look up in the polls. We see the same people running again. Most of them are running again. So I decided to run as to see can we maybe rock the boat a bit and try and get some stability into this country here, because we're on a trajectory of total destruction. All the parties are involved. So our old people are not being looked after. People can't get respite services, young and old. Our children are being all exported out of the country. So we're just trying to take stability back into the country again. So there has to be a voice for the people, and there's no voice for the people at the minute. It's all one agenda. Destruction, destruction, destruction. So thank you.
All right, we'll tease that out a bit more, of course, over the course of the morning. Liam Blaney.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you. I've been a councillor this last 21 years, and I have fought as hard as I can to represent the people of the Milford electoral area, be it in the Milford Letterkenny municipal district or in the Milford area. And there is only 3 councillors out of 10 and the municipal district, 3 of them out of the Milford electoral area, and I believe that you need very strong representation, you need experience, and I believe that I've shown over this last 21 years that I can represent the area very well. I can represent the electoral area very well and the people in that area very well, and I do hope over the next 5 years, if elected, to be able to do the same. The work ethic, I think I've shown over the last number of years, that I intend to try and continue that on if I get elected as well, and I just ask the people to give me their support if they can on June the 7th.
And last but not least, of course, we go to Kathleen Deeney of Aintoo. Kathleen, good morning to you. And why are you looking for people to give you their number one?
I'm Kathleen Deeney, a native of Rathmullen. I'm married to John. I have 2 sons and 2 grandchildren. And my background is farming, and I know the struggles that families face every time they're looking for support for
Kathleen,
children
as best as possible, if you could just talk into the mic. I want people to be able to hear you, that's okay.
And the amount of people in Donegal are affected by the crumbling blocks and the immigration for young people. My first time to run for this election, and I'm here on behalf of the Aintoo party, and I'm going to ask you for your number one vote in these areas. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much indeed. Vincent, when you say there's an agenda of destruction, you know, what do you think you can achieve in Donegal County Council to offset what you describe there?
Yeah, well, we have to start somewhere, because all the parties are pushing mass immigration. They're not looking after the people in the country, and this is the people themselves are saying it. The people are disillusioned. If you're looking for something, you can't get nothing. Our hospital servers have been broken down. Our elderly people are not being looked after. Our farming has been destroyed. I'm a farmer as well. It's been destroyed. The government seems to be hell-bent on a global, how they look as globalists, how they represent.
So what do you propose then? I mean, what are you saying?
Well, we have to start somewhere, and we have to try and find out what's going on to get into council level, and then see what can be done then.
Liam, you're a member of a government party. Is that how you see it, that everything else is going to pop because this country is trying to apply a global agenda?
Well, you see in written both European and worldwide that Ireland is well up there as far as being well off and that. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't see that on the ground. And we have a number of issues in this country and in this county that seriously need addressing. An example is, and everybody's mentioned here, or a lot of people's mentioned here around the table already, is the defective concrete blocks, known better as the mica. And migration is another one. Housing is another one. And unfortunately, in this county over this last few years, as far as housing is concerned, that we haven't seen the proper investment in housing, be it social housing or private housing. And therefore, that has led to massive increase in prices of houses and rents.
Is that not,
though,
could someone not argue that that's a failure of what we're doing? In other words, the people that we're electing into the council at the moment, and you're a member of those, that, you know, we're seeing all of the things you talk of happening whilst, you know, the likes of yourself are in positions of influence. Is that not admitting that what's going on at the moment's not working?
Well, unfortunately, the few things Martin mentioned in there, we're not in a position of influence, although we can try and influence our party nationally. But as far as the council is concerned, we have a very small part to play in that. But look, we're doing that all the time, Greg. We're pushing hard for the defective concrete blocks. We have got some changes made to it. A lot more need to be made to it. As far as housing is concerned, you will have noticed, probably seen this last year or so, that there has been quite a bit of land purchased for social housing. Not enough in my own area, I have to admit that. And I've been working hard to try and change that, and we are in the process of having deals done with different landowners in my own area. But as a councillor, our role has been limited. It's been reducing all the time, and I think it's about time that changed and that the council got a bit of more role, because they are the people that hears what people say on the ground, and we could take it then to the people that do have the power, and hopefully they will listen to it.
Padraig McGarvey, we heard Vincent reference there, the increase in the Irish population, immigration and what have you. Is that something that you've a strong opinion on? I do note that some of those that attended your campaign launch would have quite, you know, hardcore views on immigration. Are those views that you share?
No, definitely not, Greg. No, they wouldn't be views. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and that's one thing. I stand as an independent candidate, and I have my opinion. I believe refugees and Ukrainians fleeing war has been poorly managed from the government down, and they've been the areas that they've been settled in has never been assessed, and we've seen massive influx, and we've had our health service attacked, our schools overcrowded, and public transport. And I believe that the government has to blame, and the schools and the on my canvas trail this past month, I've spoke to teachers who have witnessed and seen videos of the conditions that these Ukrainians and refugees have been living in, and it's simply not good enough. And people in their own towns are feeling unsafe. There's mass amounts of...
What towns are people feeling unsafe?
Well, people in our Mulford electorate area.
They feel unsafe?
They feel unsafe going out to walk and all in the evenings, and they feel that there's groups of men walking about, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. There should have been public consultations. People should be aware of who's coming into their towns and villages. And I think that...
But I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of that is national policy. You talk about Milford, you know, you could be as afraid walking or driving around Milford because of the state of the road. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute abomination. You know, why have the sitting councillors not sorted that out? Rather than talking maybe or focusing on everyone's entitled to talk about whatever issues. Don't get me wrong, I'm not pulling anyone up on that. But I mean, you know, the basic thing is why not get Milford Street usable?
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Well, Milford Street usable as for what?
Get rid of all the potholes and accidental speed bumps?
That's exactly motions that I've brought to the council. I've been working hard, and I've brought motions about the speed bumps, about ramps slowing down traffic. That's one thing. Road infrastructure is poor in the Milford electorate area, and that's something that I want to continue working on.
Declan... What are the issues coming up for you in the doorstep, or do you want to talk about our immigration policy and the claim that, you know, people are afraid to walk around around Milford?
I think that I'm very happy to talk on immigration, and I think it's an important issue because it is coming up on the doors, but it's coming up in the context of facilities and services that are not there to meet the increased demand. I think that blaming immigrants and refugees is a very easy game to play, and it's one that actually plays very nicely into the hands of government themselves, because it reduces the accountability and responsibility that they have to deliver in other areas, such as housing and health. If we take that as an example, housing and the housing of refugees, no one is being sent to rural communities. What is happening is people are making accommodation available in rural communities. That's all the government can do, is respond to that and to fill those vacant places as they're being made available. But the issue we have here is the privatisation agenda. And so what we have is, instead of state-provided accommodation where private individuals don't benefit from this, we have a situation instead where private individuals, it is far more lucrative for them to house refugees in communities and in their properties as opposed to providing accommodation and renting that back to the county council to provide social housing to address the housing need in the Milford electoral area. We have over 110 families on the housing waiting list in the Milford electoral area. And so long as the housing of refugees is more lucrative than housing people who are ordinarily resident here and who need housing themselves, then we have a system that is not working in the best interests of people who are living here. And that's not to say, and I do believe, that refugees should be made welcome. We're also highly dependent on immigration in Donegal for vital services to operate. And all these issues that we're talking about existed before the war broke out in Ukraine. So the answer for me is we need to remove the privatisation of accommodating refugees and asylum seekers, have state-provided accommodation instead, and stop incentivising property owners to make small and large fortunes out of this crisis, and instead put more incentive into housing people who need it from social housing who are ordinarily resident here.
Okay, thanks, Declan. Maria Doherty of Sinn Féin. You know, I've been speaking to a couple of people that said, look, it can be tough to call to certain doors if you're a member of the government parties. And others saying that Sinn Féin too may be there's more of a challenge from the electorate when you call there because of potentially a misunderstanding of what the party stands for on issues such as immigration.
I haven't come across that on the door at all, actually, Greg. It has come up. Immigration has come up. The number one massive issue is housing, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, and we're going to focus greatly on that.
I'll come back to that then. Yeah, immigration has come up. But in like from our perspective, the issue is there has been no plan from the government. Like everything that they have done, there is no plan. There's no plan for housing. There's no plan for health. There's no plan for cost of living. So it's shambolic. Their approach is shambolic, which then causes division because communities are under pressure. People are at breaking point in terms of cost of living. There is a huge amount of poverty in the Milford area, and a lot of it is hidden, and we don't have the resources and the capacity to support people because of government policy. And this relates exactly back to what was saying earlier in terms of local government and local councillors not having enough resources, not having enough power to implement the change that is needed. And that's why you need good national politics, good national policy. So it is coming up on the doors. What this government has done is that it's outsourced it to the market, like it's done with everything else, like it's done with the housing crisis. The market will decide. That's why we don't have affordable and social housing. That's why we have opportunists who are making an awful lot of money in terms of housing refugees and Ukrainians. And we do have to have a humanitarian response. We do have to be human rights compliant. We are, you know, we're a wealthy nation. These people, by the vast majority of them, are fleeing war.
You are of the view we're a wealthy nation.
Yes, we are a wealthy nation. We have 9 billion in reserve. We're a wealthy nation. We're a developed country. We're a highly educated country.
But you understand how the public don't feel?
No,
a
they lot don't. Because there's no trickle down. There's no trickle down. And particularly for us and where we live in this region, where we live in Northwest Ireland, in Donegal, the lowest disposable income in the state. The lowest disposable income. The lowest level of people with higher education attainment. And why is that? No infrastructure. No trains, buses hit and miss, just in terms of, you know, if it wasn't for private operators, you wouldn't get past Letterkenny. And what are the rest of us to do who live in the town lands and the parishes? And
I think some of them
are
subcontracted by Busairn, but
yeah,
I do understand
but,
the point you're making.
The big picture is there has been no or little investment in rural Ireland. There just hasn't. And people are struggling. They are struggling.
Okay, you had your party leader up at the weekend, Kathleen, I believe. Paddy Tobin was up visiting. What is, day one in the council, what would you like to be able to deliver? I know you said some of it in your preamble. I just want to tease it out a little bit more, Kathleen, if that's okay.
Yeah, well, I suppose the major thing, really, in Donegal is they make a crumbling blocks, that there isn't a family or home in Donegal that's not affected. And they have been totally neglected. And I know that there's a huge mega campaign to get 100% redress. And I think that should happen and happen immediately if it is possible. And
there are other issues as well. Dyslexia awareness and support, that's something too that you would use your platform in the council to advance, I presume.
Yeah, well, the reason that I'm speaking about dyslexia, both our children are dyslexic. And when we initially were introduced to this field, there was absolutely no resource or any support at classroom level. So anyway, we eventually got into the class, the extra teaching in the regional college. And I joined the committee because I had to be educated. And from my knowledge and awareness, it hasn't changed much to this day. And that it's a silent weakness. So, often it portrays some bad behaviour, lack of learning. And, of course, then there is the teacher aspect of it that I think personally, I think that the teacher at undergraduate level there isn't enough time spent on teacher training. And then when it comes to getting the assessment, it's an absolute disgrace that the parents have to pay £500 or £600 for the assessment. And they cannot find an educational psychologist to do it.
Okay, thank you for that. Eamon Jackson, as you heard, everyone here is concerned about defective concrete and are committing to do all they can. What, from a 100% redress party, can you do differently in that? Could you be disadvantaged in people thinking that you're a single issue? Everyone around this table accepts it's the biggest or one of the biggest issues. So how can you sort of separate yourself from that pack?
Well, certainly from my point of view and the point of view of the six candidates that are running in Donegal, the single biggest issue on the doorstep is defective blocks. I think, it's very difficult to know where to start because there is so many issues to do with defective blocks that I think I'm going to start with a story about Frank Crumlish, who was on this radio station 3 weeks ago. And Frank is a 76-year-old pensioner. He lost his wife in January and he told his defective block story. And after I called to the doors, after he was on Highland Radio, I can swear to you there was not a dry eye in the county that day. Frank was at his wit's end. He had lost his resilience. And ultimately, what you need for this scheme is resilience. Frank was treated no differently to anybody else on this scheme, be it you, your family, your friends, your neighbours. This scheme is a scheme that rolls out to everybody. It rolled out to Frank, but it rolled out at a time when Frank just could not cope. All Micah families are going to have a stage where they can't cope. And ultimately, within Donegal County Council, changes have to be made locally. In Donegal County Council, we have two facilitators, one in Letterkenny, one in Carndonagh. We need 7 facilitators. We need facilitators in every hub in Donegal. We will be fighting to have those 7 facilitators available. If there was a facilitator available in Buncrana, Frank would not have had to have exposed his life in front of social media and on Highland Radio. It was a disgrace how Frank was being treated. We are going to look for those facilitators. Also, the hotline that's available is only open 7 hours a week. How can 7,000 people get through on a 7 hour a week platform?
Okay, and we can't go through all of them, and I know it's in, but we'll go, they'll probably come in through the course of the conversation. But Liam Blaney, you know, it would be easy to feel that the way this conversation might go is that, you know, the councillors that have been sitting in the council have been doing nothing on this, if you know what I mean. I presume you believe that is not the case.
No, well, I know that's not the case. And if we could change it, we would change it tomorrow morning or this morning. But unfortunately, we don't have the powers, councillors, to change it. And the way the scheme was set up is that there can be no changes made to it in the first year. The first year is up now on the 1st of July. We're hoping that we will be able to get changes. Those minor changes, as you heard Martin McDermott on this morning about the ancillary grants, which is very welcome. There are a number of other minor changes, but there's a lot of changes still to be made to it. And we understand that and know that. And we're fighting hard. I would say there's no party fighting as hard as the Fianna Fáil party is in Donegal County Council to try to get changes. And we meet regularly with the minister and our leader. And, you know, there's a lot of issues nationally that we're fighting against to try and get extra funding for this. But I do hope through time, and there is some very, very, very bad situations out there. I understand that. But the other side of it is that people never hear is that there's people getting their homes completed for the grant.
47 so far.
There's people
getting the 9 to 10 grant.
Yeah, there's people getting their homes completed for the grant.
For the process. Okay.
And, you know, there's people not able to get their homes completed for the grant. And they're the people that we have to try and fight for as well.
Maria,
but I think it's important that the story gets out there too, which is never told. All the negative is told about the scheme. There is positives about the scheme. And there are people getting the jobs done.
Yeah.
As far as the facilitators is concerned, we're looking to get extra facilitators ourselves. We hope that there's two more added shortly to it. And, you know, there's a lot of different issues with the scheme that we could name, but look and understand, we can only mention a few of them here today.
Well, no, it is such a very important issue, yeah. So I have no problem allocating as much time as is necessary. Maria Doherty of Sinn Féin, sorry, I should just so everyone knows who's talking at any given time. Your eyebrows raised, particularly when I think Liam says that no one's doing as much as Fianna Fáil, no one's working as hard as Fianna Fáil. Why is that such a surprising statement?
If that's the case, then are you going to ask for 100% redress? Because that is actually the only solution here. This scheme is not fit for purpose. People cannot afford it. The figures were just released there by Greg, or said by Greg, 47 people have completed. Do you know why that is? Because it's a minimum of about 50,000. A minimum you need to fix your houses, because there's not enough there in the grant. So my question is, if you are looking for a solution, and you as a Fianna Fáil councillor and a representative government, are you going to ask the Minister for Housing to implement 100% redress?
I'm going to bring everyone in that wants to, but Liam, as you said, if there is a sense out there that the story isn't being told, I want to give you an opportunity to reply to what Maria just said.
Well, you see, it's easy to throw away these popular remarks. The scheme's not fit for purpose. The scheme's not fit for purpose for everyone, but the scheme is fit for purpose.
Okay, I won't say any more. But only 47 people have, and there's 7,000 people on the list.
Only 47 people as what?
Have completed the scheme, have drawn down their houses.
61 in total, including Sligo.
Sligo's Mayo.
Yeah, well, and the county Donegal, only 47 has got it completed so far. It takes a year to 15 months to complete houses. You said there's 7,000 people in the scheme. There's not 7,000 people in the scheme.
There's 7,000 people who have defective blocks. The houses are affected.
I'm sure at least, and my prediction is a lot more.
It probably is a lot more.
Yeah. Declan, I think you wanted to come in there as well.
Yeah, look, as we know that Liam might say that this is a popular thing to say or throwaway remarks, but the reality is the scheme is not fit for purpose. And what we have in this county is we have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael representatives gaslighting homeowners into saying...
What about Sinn Féin then? Because, I mean, you know, your comments could be perceived as a vote for Sinn Féin there.
No. If you let me finish, they're responsible for the scheme. They are the parties in government, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and they're the ones that are standing over the scheme and saying that it is working when we know that it is not. They're gaslighting homeowners. The only way forward is full implementation of the People's Document, which was facilitated by the MICA Action Group and was signed off on by people who were in attendance at those meetings, by the way, that I was at and some people around this table were not at, because I support homeowners and I'm an affected homeowner myself. people are on their knees when it comes to this scheme. It is a punitive scheme, it is a bureaucratic nightmare, and it is totally and utterly inaccessible for an awful lot of people and the majority of people. The community facilitators that we have in the county, there are only two. I was involved in getting them into the county because I'm on the board of Donegal Local Development Company, and we also host one of them in Milford and District Resource Centre. That one for this part of the county, which is non-Inishowen Donegal, central Donegal, she has over 600 people as clients that she is working with. That is completely unworkable. The average number of people, clients that someone in DLDC would have in other schemes is 90 people. So that is the level of need that is out there. So 47 people in Donegal have availed of these schemes to completion. We know that the numbers are not there. People are not accessing it. Mm-hmm. But we know the numbers of people that need it and want support and need support to access it is absolutely enormous. If people are sitting at home in defective blocks houses, or they know someone that is, which by the way is probably everyone listening to this show this morning, they need to ask themselves two questions. The first is, do you feel that the current councillors for the Milford electoral area are doing enough to represent your needs and your desires when it comes to this? And the second is, who is going to do a better job for the next 5 years? We can't afford 5 years of the same. We need change, and we need someone with experience of fighting for people and for place.
Okay, Páraic McGarvey, you're amongst the, I mean, I know that you're only relatively recently took the seat, but you know, you would be more of the same, the more of the same Declan references there.
Definitely, Greg. Well, I think I'm the only candidate around this table that currently has their home demolished. I've seen firsthand the effects, the pressure it's putting on families. I've been to doors, the pressure that it's putting on families that's not even on the scheme. We've just moved out of our house at Easter weekend, and to keep the spirits of our children, I suppose they've been most affected. Last week they've just watched their house demolished, every memory from coming home, from being a baby, to birthday parties, communions, bouncy castles. There's a digger in their back garden. It's heartbreaking. And to think that one in three people in this county has to go through the same thing as we've just went through is absolutely shattering. And I do believe that the scheme is not able to cope with there is a shortfall. We know there's a shortfall. I don't know what my shortfall will be yet. I was fortunate enough to be on the 90-10 scheme, and I moved over to the new scheme last June, and thankfully all that me and my wife had in our head was to get our house complete, and we just are fortunate enough to be in the position. There's people talking to people, they're not even on the scheme yet, but I have helped so many people with their mega applications. I've helped people advice and want to continue
that was quite an important line. You want to continue to do so. Vincent, you know, In the council, what would you do or attempt to do for those affected by defective concrete, Carrigart, like pretty much every town, as housing estates and private properties riddled with this defective substance? What would you do in the council?
Yes, well, we try and streamline things as much as possible and try and help the people where possible as well. It's sad that the country, all our houses are being destroyed. But this is, again, comes back to the Fianna Fáil government, comes back to the Fine Gael government. They're not really interested in the people to resolve the issue as quickly as possible, so we would need to resolve it and help to resolve it as quickly as possible, so we could take the stress away from the people, give them as much help. We're interested in helping outside people coming from all over the world, but the Irish people again are left paddy last. You can suffer. We're being made slaves for the rest of the world, so we just have to try.
What do you mean we're being made slaves for the rest of the world?
We're working, we're paying our taxes, we're paying everything, and people in their houses are crumbling, nobody's been properly looked after, and people are getting accommodation. So we are the slaves for the rest of the world by design, by the government. And Fianna Fáil here and Sinn Féin says that we're a wealthy country, we have big GDP. GDP is only for the massive multinationals. It's a way of laundering money. It looks good in the books, but the ordinary person is suffering. They don't have money. So the parties can say whatever they want, that we're a wealthy country. We're not. The ordinary people are suffering. We're suffering.
Kathleen Deeney, you know, I mean, obviously you're a member of a party that would have aspirations of being in government some point or other. What had your party leader to say about defective concrete at the weekend, or your views? I'm not asking you to speak on his behalf, but just broadly speaking, from an ANTI perspective or your own?
Well, from an ANTI perspective, you know, it has gone on and on and on, and there's no answers. And I think the central government just don't care, because if they cared, it would happen before now, and they would have the 100% redress in action and not having people tortured and worry and frustration of, you know, hitting their heads against a brick wall, literally. And, you know, lots of families have different issues. Like, within my own family, you know, there's a child with autism and, a little one with dyslexia, and their house has to be tumbled, and they're making plans. And the thing about locally in Rathmullen is getting a house to live in, because it's a tourist little village, and the house rents per week is sky high. Availability is the other thing. There isn't houses available, you know.
Yep.
So it's the same old story. You know, if you care, you'll make it happen. And if you don't care, it'll never happen. So it's gone on too long, and it needs to come to an end sooner rather than later, and for the best of everyone involved.
I mean, obviously, look, Liam, you're the only government rep here. And everyone so far has had a shot at Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Greens as well, who seem to have got off so far around in this conversation. But, you know, you maintain that this is a good scheme, a workable scheme. Is there any point asking you if you think it's 100% redress?
No, I didn't say that, Greg. I said that the story doesn't get out there that some people are getting the houses completed for the grant. There's a lot of people that doesn't sit, a lot of people that has a lot of different complexities. And it's going to take time to be able to get something that's going to be suitable for all them people. But I'm not saying that the scheme is suitable. I want 100% redress for everybody. Maria, you'll have your say. That's the second time or third time you've come.
Well, listen. At the end of the day, this is a debate.
The majority of us around this
table. The majority of us around this table is affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Myself included. We understand what's required. We understand what's needed. We're fighting with a government that has a lot of other issues to deal with as well. And I'm not making excuses for them. But we are fighting as a Fianna Fáil party as hard as we can. And I'm quite sure if you talk to anybody and the executive in Lifford or and the department, they will tell you that Fianna Fáil is constantly on about and trying to improve the scheme. Unfortunately, it wasn't able to improve it much up until the 1st of July. But after the 1st of July, we do hope to build it. And as well as at the cap after the first birthday, which is the 1st of July, the cap is allowed to increase or decrease by 10%. And we're hoping and fighting hard to get increased by the 10%.
OK, listen, I have to take a break. And we're going to come back with this because a lot of people want to get in. And as much as I can, I'll try and chair it. But I do want people at the time, if they wish to make a comment on someone else's comments, to do so, i.e. a debate. But as I say, the main thing is, though, that everyone at home's here, what everyone hears, what everyone has to say. All right, it is the first of our election debates. It's the Milford electorate area. 9 candidates contesting 3 seats. We have 7 of them here today, and we'll hear more from them after we take this break. Stay right where you are. Housing generally is a biggie, right? And we're going to come to that after 11, but I might just use the last couple of minutes beforehand to go to 2 people who were indicating they wanted to come in the last conversation. I'll go to you first, Declan, if that's all right.
Yeah, just carrying on from our conversation on defective blocks. And obviously, there's a lot of focus on private homes that are owned that need to be redressed. There's a myriad of other buildings that need to be sorted out. But one thing that has come up on the doors, and I mean, it is disgraceful, is the council-owned housing stock that is affected by defective blocks. And I mean, I don't mean any disrespect to people who are living in there, and my heart goes out to them in terms of the conditions that they are living in. But some of those houses are simply not fit for human habitation. I met a woman on the doors a few weeks ago, and she's terminally ill, and she was recently moved into a house by the council, which is absolutely riddled with defective blocks. And furthermore, the house is completely covered in black mould. Oh, absolutely.
No, there is no houses.
Vincent,
flooded.
That's the point
they're
I'm trying
flooded.
To make.
They're flooded with Ukrainians.
They're well, they're not.
Non-
that's
they're flooded
incorrect.
Because you were but trying to put Ukrainians onto Lough Erne Heights in Milford. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
That's completely incorrect. No, no. You haven't a clue what you're talking about.
You were trying to put on Ukrainians over the
what
locals.
What I'm trying to say is that's completely incorrect.
Sure you were.
Completely
no,
incorrect.
No, no. No, no. So you're
and
it, you're just, you're
what
making
I'm saying
it.
Is the council need to get their act
when
together
objected,
to remediate
you shut
those
down
houses.
Your social media.
That's completely incorrect, Vincent.
No, it's
do you
not.
Want to talk about Lough Erne Heights? Yeah. I'll talk about it. There's absolutely
well,
no
can,
problem with it.
We can do that because actually there's a lot of specific ones on that, so we'll hold that off, right? And I'm not cutting anyone off here, by the way. Finally, I suppose, just before the break for the news at 11, Eamon, as I said to you at the beginning, you know, a lot of people very passionate about this issue and you sort of have to, stand above those. As you, but you're not a single issue candidate, are you?
Absolutely not, Greg. I mean, if the single issue you're thinking of is crumbling homes, if you're not affected, somebody very close to you will be affected by it. It's more than just a block issue. It's your home. It's your children's home. It's people's lives. Where are you going to go for a year? What accommodation is there out there when your house comes down? Who deals with the mental health of your family over the next 30 years? Children disadvantaged by studying for their Leaving Cert and Junior Cert, cramped in temporary accommodation, relationships breaking down, respiratory health of family from mould growing in your home, excess heating bills because the heat is escaping through the cracks in the walls. I mean, this is a huge cost of living issue also. How could somebody say that we are a single issue party? That is just ridiculous.
Well, in fairness, I'm the only person that asked that question. Just to be clear, no one else around the table did. I was just wondering if that was a perception.
If I can
I'm not
back,
claiming it either, but I'm the only one said it, right?
That's all right, but if I can come back to the fact the blocks, just for a point of clarification.
Do you know what we'll do? I think we're going to stay with this because they're all intertwined, right? But we'll take a break for the news and then we'll come back. And as I say, a lot of this is being guided by listeners and I think the defective concrete, but then feeding into the housing and the likes of Lough Erne proving particularly controversial. And this is a specific Milford debate, so we can get local. We'll do that and more after we take a quick break and the news. Stay right where you are. We're going to be back with another hour with our candidates. So we'll really get into the convo after the news.